we bring you Viewpoint with Pete Stevenson discussing the Bible's view of family relationships.
Today, we're looking at the topic, the Bible and your children. Many times, I've been impressed with the urgent need that exists in many Christian homes for training the children in knowing and understanding the Word of God, the Bible. As I've talked with parents about their homes and counseled with Christian young people who've been caught up with various kinds of problems, I found consistently that the Word of God has been relegated to second place in their homes. Frankly, I think I'm optimistic when I say second place. More realistically, it's in third place or fourth place or fifth place or some other place in most Christian homes. You find it relatively easy to take your children to Sunday school and church. You support Sunday school contests and social activities. You urge your children to follow principles that are in line with your Christian beliefs, but you fail to train your children in the basis for all of these things, God's Word, the Bible. The poet, John Oxenham, through his poem Influence, expressed the impact of small things sown in the life of a child. He wrote, "I spoke a word and no one heard. I wrote a word and no one cared or seemed to heed, but after half a score of years it blossomed in a fragrant deed. Preachers and teachers all are we, sowers of seed unconsciously. Our hearers are beyond our ken, yet all we give may come again with usury of joy or pain. We never know to what one little word may grow. See to it, then, that all your seeds be such as bring forth noble deeds." This is the reason for the urgency behind this need of giving your children instruction in God's Word. What you do now with the Bible and your children will bring forth its fruit 20 or 30 years from now, when your children have formed their character and adopted the principles that will guide their decisions in life. You're not only training your child for today, you're training him for tomorrow as well. You see, there's no way in which you can simply write down all of the standards that you want your children to follow in life, give them to your children, and tell them that they're to have learned them and begin practicing them in 2 weeks or a month. Using an analogy, perhaps I could say that the rearing of your children is not a 100-yard dash, it's a cross-country race. Just as a 1,000-mile journey begins with a single step, so the development of Christian principles in your children demands that you start early to train them while they're small and still responsive to your guidance. This is why you must take your Bible and on a regular basis teach your children those things that God wants them to know. Maud Fraser Jackson has pointed this out in her poem, "Does It Matter What I Say?" She wrote, "What if I say the Bible is God's holy word, complete, inspired, without a flaw, but let its pages stay unread from day to day and fail to learn therefrom God's law? What if I go not there to seek the truth of which I glibly speak? For guidance on this earthly way, does it matter what I say? No, it is not enough to guide your children on the basis of your own authority. You must teach them that the Bible is the only infallible basis for life. You must teach this by your personal example and by your formal spiritual training program in the home. To do this, you must start when your children are young as possible, and train them to know and to understand the Bible. Repeated consistently, all during the time that they're maturing, you can have the confidence that you're training your children to go in the way that God wants them to go."
You've just heard Viewpoint with Pete Stevenson discussing the Bible's view of family relationships.